Okay, whenever you're ready.
Great. Good morning, everyone. This is Fareed Farooqi. I'm the acting chair for the commission. I'd like to welcome you all this morning. I know we have a full schedule, and I'm looking a little different because I'm celebrating the Eid celebration, which is after 30 days of our fasting in the month of Ramadan. We celebrate just like Christmas and Hanukkah and other celebrations. This is our big festival. So I'm with family, actually, and I just finished up my congregational prayers. So I thought I should just join in to welcome each and all of you. First of all, our new commissioners that have been added, I want to welcome them. From the 5th district, we have Dot Leach. Welcome to the Orange County Human Relations Commission. And we also have from the 2nd district, I believe, Ada Risiana. I hope I've said the last name correctly. And welcome you both, Yop. And we need new energy and new thought. But we also want to acknowledge and thank our commissioners that served, Mike Reynolds and Adi Nyamati. So it looks like I'm already forgetting the names. I shouldn't be. But they did a wonderful job contributing their time and effort and energy into this and shaping the thought and processes. So really thank them for having given their time and served the committee and the commission as well. So I'll be kind of signing off shortly, but I just wanted to convey my thoughts and prayers. I'm just coming out of a one-month intensive of focusing on what is important in life, that we are all equal, we are all one humanity, and we need to care for each other, we need to respect one another, we need to embrace one another, understanding and knowing. Unfortunately, we are a divided world. There's a lot that is happening locally, nationally, and obviously globally. And our job as a commission is to kind of focus on what is important to bring people together so that we lessen or eradicate hate if we can completely, to get to know one another, to respect and to not have these issues of divisiveness, racism, bigotry, and hate. So we have a lot to do with our AAPI and other communities. I'm sure you're going to be hearing a lot more in this session here. And my fellow commissioner, Rabbi Steinberg, will be leading the charge in place of myself. I'll be excusing myself today in leading this particular session. So I thank you all, and those that are the attendees, our guests that have dialed in, to all of you, a very a good day, and I wish you well. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Fareed, and Eid Mubarak to you and to all of our Muslim brothers and sisters after the spiritual quest of a month, and fulfilling and meaningful as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Our prayers are more needed, and that of others as well. Thank you very much.
I do also want to add my thanks to our past chair, Mike Reynolds, who did just a wonderful job in leading the commission, to Dr. Effie, and also Dr. Carey, who has stepped off the commission as well. So thank them for this.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I thank you. Thank you again for reminding me. So I'll excuse myself, your commissioner, and thank you, Jamie, and everyone, Norma, all the commissioners and the new commissioners that have been added on. I wish you well. We have a lot of work to do, and I hope to meet you in person one of these days soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Fareed.
Jamie.
Yes.
Number two.
All right. Well, actually, first, I will call roll.
Oh.
Commissioner Briseño.
Here.
Commissioner Buck is absent. Commissioner Dobie. I see.
Here.
Commissioner Farooqi just left. Commissioner Hamill.
Here.
Commissioner Leach. No, you're muted.
Here. Sorry.
That's okay. Commissioner Lee.
Here.
Commissioner Matsuba.
Here.
Commissioner Steinberg?
Here.
And Commissioner Wang?
I'm here.
Thank you. Okay, so item number two is our opening quote reflection.
I just happened to be up this month. So there's a very famous rabbi during the Civil Rights Movement named Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. And he was best friends with Martin Luther King and marched with him many, many times. And he said, "I am praying with my feet when I march." And a powerful statement. But what I wanted to share with you today is a quote from one of his very famous writings. He said, "Morally speaking, there is no limit to the concern one must feel for the suffering of human beings, that indifference to evil is worse than evil itself, that in a free society, some are guilty, but all are responsible. Some are guilty, but all are responsible." And when I think about our commission, I think about us being responsible, not on in the negative sense of causing pain and suffering, but responsible for solving the indifference to hate and evil and the suffering of human beings. And I applaud our Board of Supervisors and all those who are on these calls, and certainly our commissioners, who really are in the work of, yes, shining a big bright light on the guilty, because that's the way we root out racism, discrimination, and hatred, but also taking responsibility for healing our nation and our world in ways that are meaningful and ways that bring a sense of purpose to humanity and to all that we do, particularly here in Orange County. That indifference to evil is worse than evil itself, that in a free society some are guilty, but all are responsible. And I'm glad to be responsible with all of you as we move forward in this meeting and in all of our work together, particularly as we welcome our two new commissioners, which we're really thrilled to have you aboard as well. Jamie.
All right, item number three, monthly summary of commission activities.
Commissioner Dobie.
You're muted, Commissioner Dobie.
Perhaps she stepped away for a moment.
No, I'm sorry. I've just redone all of my technology, and there's screens everywhere, and there's buttons everywhere, and my hair is all over my head, so I really need a little grace today. Because I can hear you. I'm just distracted by trying to figure out what screen you're all on.
Got it. But are you up to doing the review of the monthly commission activities, or do you want me to do it?
Oh, you would bless me indeed if you did it, sir. It would honor me so.
It would be my pleasure. So on page 5 of the packet that you all got, there's a monthly summary of activities and an activities matrix, which is really important in terms of how we are able to judge how the commission is doing. And we are coming to the end of the year, and we've exceeded almost all of our goals. Monthly HRC meetings, 12 is our goal, and we'll reach that, of course. Our annual report, one police community reconciliation, we're well over what our goal was. Community police meetings, we're one short of that. We have doubled, more than doubled, the Chief's Advisory Board and Sheriff's Interfaith Council. Community outreach and relationship building, in a year in which we were all from home, we have increased that significantly. Hate crime report, the network meeting, met. The saddest one and the most important one, of course, is I, support to hate crime victims. The goal was 8. Sadly, we are at 71, almost 10 times where we needed to be. You know, it's just the work that we do. And you can see the other relationship building and outreach presentations during this past month. Number 3 at the bottom there, staff support and commissioners can conduct informed community stakeholder input meetings that drew in approximately 163 participants. This was the request of Supervisor Bartlett, who asked us to bring in the community to talk about the needs, to make a proposal back to the Board of Supervisors to increase our work in this next year and years to come. And 163 community members is through the roof when you talk about community meetings. So the need is clearly there. Okay. Let's move on to open forum.
Okay. If anybody wishes to speak, we do have three attendees. Please hit the hand raise icon on the Zoom app or hit *9 on your phone. And we have two. I will unmute. The first one that I saw is Ms. Figueroa. Hold on a sec. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Good morning to everyone, and welcome to new members, Ada and Dodd. So wonderful that you're on the commission now. I just wanted to comment on two things. I wanted to say how happy I was to attend one of the stakeholder meetings. I think that's a wonderful first step. And I think a lot of the ideas that came out of at least the one that I attended were wonderful. The need for more money to put into practice a lot of the programs that really will help to alleviate a lot of the racism and discrimination that exists in our community. And as part of that, I wanted to also mention how happy I was to see that the Ethnic Studies program passed in Los Alamitos with a, I believe it was a unanimous vote. I'm hoping that the same is going to happen in Fullerton and in all the other districts, because I think education is the key to getting rid of this, to fight back against so many politicians and others who pit one marginalized community against the other to kind of distract from the real problems, structural problems in our society. But I think education, especially at the primary and secondary level, is really the key so that this next generation will be far more aware of the reality of the situation and of the their neighbors, because we are in such a diverse community. And I think it's important that kids begin to respect one another, respect their communities, respect their history. And it's not pitting people against another. It's people respecting the reality of what our history is. And so I plan to do everything I can as a cis white female to support a complete ethnic studies program in all the school districts, which include all marginalized communities. So thank you so much, and good luck on all the work you have ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks, Felicity.
We have one more. It is Pat Davis. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. And yes, also welcome to our newest commissioners. This will be even more fun to watch on a monthly basis. So thank you for taking that step and joining the commission. I did want to add some thoughts, too, on ethnic studies piece, having sat through several of the meetings in the last couple of weeks. The students were fabulous. And yet our districts are facing unreasonable crowds, ways in which the community is responding. In the Los Al situation, if you didn't follow it, I know that there's a article attached to your agenda, but there are newer articles in terms of how it did pass. And the district did close the meeting as far as public participation, but they allowed for public comments to be written. And that board and staff read every one of them. I would say it was an 80-20 split. I've seen other numbers, but 80 certainly in support. The against were, meaningful in some cases and had some points that need to be worked with. And I do hope families get support in this work, too. But I don't want it to be at the expense of my grandchildren nor any other children that are in that system. So any work you can do there. Fullerton, oh my gosh, they're going to need help. So let's step up and see what we can do there. And I know that the OCHR does a lot of work with teachers, and they're going to need even more. And I don't have much hope for the Board of Ed, so if you have any influence there, that would be a wonderful place to start. I did want to acknowledge last night Commissioner Matsuda and I got to finish a restorative justice circle training with OCHR. That was absolutely delightful, and work. So that being a combination was quite enjoyable. So thank you to all the staff who do that. They do live in the trenches daily. So as again, I want to ask that you continue to advocate for the work and resources needed to complete the task that you have before you. And while the BOS has come forward with some things, I think they could do a lot better in readjusting resources to community-based needs versus law enforcement. So, again, I think the kind of work that you do can influence that. And I will be curious also about the stakeholder meeting outcomes. I did participate in two of those, and I was delighted who was drawn there, but I was hoping for twice the participation. But it's a start, and we need to have you move forward with that. So I think that's my notes. Thank you. Have a good meeting, and I'll watch until my noon meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Number six on the agenda is the Ethnic Studies class debate. We're actually going to skip that item when we get to it because Amy isn't here. But I just would like to comment, while I do think there is a lot of positive outcome from ethnic studies, it's not exactly as I think, Felicity, you shape it. There are some statements in ethnic studies pitting one group against another, and I'm not quite comfortable with it yet in its current form from the state and coming into school districts yet. We are far from a final product. I just wanted to go on the record as saying that I do think it's a positive movement to have these conversations in our classrooms. The curriculum is not as developed as it could or should be just yet. So with that, let's move to the next. Unless there are other comments, sorry. Other
no, that was it. Okay, so
go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, item number four is review, discuss, and approve Goodwill project nominations and timeline.
Joanne, please.
Okay. I just had the proposal of, normally, you know, I'm not the greatest with these, the sharing screen and everything, so I just got rid of the proposal. But anyway, just as an introduction, we were thanking Dr. Carrie Reynolds, who was the former commissioner, who started a program, who was the chair of this program, a Goodwill program in the community. And what we were doing is the commissioners were offering and putting it out in the airwaves of anyone that would like to nominate someone who is doing well towards anti-bias, anti-racism, making a stand and a difference in our community, whether it's an individual, a group, organization. And so we set up a list of criteria. I don't know if, Norma, do you happen to have that available? But anyway, the actual, what the actual criteria is that we're looking for. But in the meantime, over this past year, we did select, we had several candidates, and we did select four, one for each quarter. I know we were in a process of vetting these candidates, so I'm not sure if it's actually official at this point, but we did have four nominees and are hoping to be able to award them. A couple are individuals and a couple are from organizations. And we, should I go over the names? I don't know. Norma, do you happen to have that?
Joanne, it's Joanne?
Yes.
Supervisor Matsubi, it's Renee. Those that you presented to the county as your award, your proposed awardees, have been approved. They were given back to the ad hoc so that you could discuss the final candidates before you award.
All right. All right. So we do have the list of the candidates are listed on the agenda. And our first...
Well, Joanne, are we... Looks like she's frozen. Are we announcing the nominees, or we're announcing the winners?
Been selected, correct, Renee? I mean, they've been.
I think what you had proposed doing was the ad hoc was going to select the awardees, and then there would be a final approval today by the entire commission.
Okay, so...
So what you're presenting today is what the ad hoc proposes as the final awardees, and
right.
You're looking for the commission, I believe, to
approve
in an action item those that your ad hoc is proposing be awarded.
Okay. So,
and maybe, Jamie, could you read the actual action item just to make sure we're all on the same page, please?
Me read the names?
I think there's an action item on the agenda.
Yeah, I read the title. Review, discuss, and approve Goodwill Project nominations and timeline.
I just wanted to make sure they heard that one.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yes.
All right. So on the agenda we have for the first awardee would be Higher Ground, which is the director of Higher Ground is Joe Baldo. This is an organization. Am I going through each one, or has everyone read over these? Okay.
Just
so
the name and the short description, I think, is perfect.
Okay. And so his organization is a family services within Santa Ana, and they have after-school programs. They have counseling sessions. They have teach classes for the parents and adults. They have family activities. And he is also very instrumental in teaching kids anti-bullying techniques and just respect for each other in the community. The next one for third quarter would be Bill Bracken of Bracken's Kitchen and Deidre Pujols of Open Gate International, two different organizations. Bracken's Kitchen is also a nonprofit feeding those in the community, allowing volunteers from the community to help hiring people within the community, also having cooking classes and encouraging self-esteem within the community. Open Gate International, I'm familiar with this. Against human trafficking. She's supporting anti-human trafficking and other exploitive industries taking place in our community. She is making an impact by filling roles through rescue, rehabilitation, and other services, and she found a critical element of survival support was missing in job training in the workforce, and so her organization was born from that. She also has a program called American Culinary Federation Education Foundation. And our next candidate is Mark Desmond of High Hopes. And High Hopes is a program for people who are sustaining head injuries and working with the students and the patients and families. It's kind of a forgotten group, and he's trying to make sure that they get help. I believe he has activities and just inclusive activities within the community, showing compassion, courage for those who have had head injuries. And so that's the group. We had slated to do one or two, in this case, one to two awards per quarter. So we would lead off with Higher Ground for this quarter, which is already the second quarter.
Is there a motion to accept these nominees? I just need somebody to raise their hand.
Or not.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Second to the motion.
A really good idea.
I'll second.
Thank you, Tanya. And any discussion on the nominees' questions? Any whatsoever?
I'd just like to add for our new commissioners, after this meeting, I will send out links where there's information on the criteria, and then also, additionally, the ad hoc created an online form for folks to submit nominations that way, too. So I'll send all of that out in an email, because I know that Joanne referenced it and it's not here. So just an FYI, I'll be sending out info after this.
Yeah, I apologize. I had it, and it disappeared into cyberspace. So,
for Ada's benefit, so the Goodwill program is a really wonderful anecdote, I guess you could say, to all of the work we've done inside. So it's kind of a nice balance, if you will, for us to think about those doing good in the county, as well as our focus and energy spent on reporting and dealing with hate incidents and hate crimes. So, any other discussion? All those in favor of accepting these people as our awardees for the Goodwill program?
We have to do a roll call vote, sorry, because we're...
And we should do a roll
teleconferencing.
Call vote. Just going to say.
Okay. All right, when I call your name, let me know if you're supporting or not. Commissioner Briseño?
So I apologize, but I just want to clarify. Is it the four or is it higher ground that we're voting on? The four.
All of them.
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Buck is absent. Commissioner Dobie?
Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi is absent. Commissioner Hamill?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner Steinberg?
Yes.
And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Thank you. It was unanimous.
Wonderful. Thank you all. And again, a big, big thank you to former Commissioner Carrie Reynolds, who really spearheaded this. And Joanne, thank you so much for taking it up and the ad hoc committee for really making it happen. I think we have like a system now that hopefully will continue with rolling awardees each quarter instead of bunching them up like that. But we were playing a little bit of catch-up over many, many months. So thank you so much, Joanne, for all your hard work. Number five.
Okay. Yeah. Item number five is commissioner authorization requests for events.
Norma, I'm not sure what Farid is asking here for this.
This is a standing agenda item. If commissioners have been invited to an event to speak, et cetera, it's an opportunity for the commissioners to ask or put in a request.
So this is a new standing item where we get approval to go speak somewhere in our role as commissioners. You're asking us, and Renee's asking us to come to the authorization before we speak, correct? Anybody been asked to speak? Okay. Good. We're going to skip item six because Amy is in present.
Okay.
Rabbi, I just have one question about item five very quickly.
Yes.
Is it a quick turnaround? Because usually when you get asked to speak is within a few, you know, days or week or so. So is it a quick turnaround to get an approval?
Renee and Norma would be able to better answer that than I would.
Yeah, so the chair can approve that. It doesn't have to be in this forum, but the previous chair, Mike Reynolds, asked that it be a standing item so that if you had something this week or next week that you could just bring it up during the meeting and he could approve it on the spot.
Great. So it's the chair's approval. And the active chair of the commission right now is Farid, Commissioner Faruqa. So if it comes between now and next month, just email him, I suppose, would be a good one. Thank you, Renee.
Perfect. No problem. Thank you.
Can I share my experience with that? Because I think I'll say fault, that it's my fault that it's on there because I have people requesting that I speak in a human relations committee capacity. And because I'm also a city council member, I just tell people if I come and speak, it will be just Tanya Dobie that's coming. Unless it's something that's already been preordained or pre-approved, and I find I stay out of a lot of trouble that way as well.
Thank you for sharing that. That is really good advice. That is really helpful, actually. Thank you.
Okay. So we will go then to item number seven, which is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month.
Wonderful. I'd like to invite Commissioner Wang to introduce our speaker and welcome.
I'd like to welcome Marianne Fu. I'll do a really quick bio about her. So Marianne Fu is the Executive Director and Founder of the Orange County Asian Pacific Islander Community Alliance, also known as ACAPICA. So ACAPICA is a nonprofit organization with over 100 staff who speak 26 languages and programs that serve more than 40,000 community members in a year. She can correct me on this. This is something I found. The agency provides mental health policy and civic engagement, youth leadership, education, workforce development. All services are free and offered throughout Orange County to all populations. Marianne is also, she also has 30 years experience working in California at all levels, including national that impact underserved populations. She has received several honors, including Unsung Heroes from PBS and even Orange County Human Relations Legacy Award. Marianne is also the principal investigator to numerous community-based research programs in California, and she serves as a trustee for several boards, including local hospitals and foundations. She's a fourth generation in California and loves to spend time fishing and watching baseball with her family. And I'd also like to add that Marianne is a huge advocate for not only the API, but just really, like I said earlier, underserved, and she is a mentor for many of the up-and-coming executive directors or community organizers out there. And I invited her because May is Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. And given what's happening right now, beyond just recognizing this month, because the purpose of it is to recognize the contributions and influences of the Asian Pacific Islander Americans when it comes to history, culture, and achievements in the United States, with what's happening right now, I think that Marianne will give us a lot of insight as to what does that all really mean, not only on a local level, but just overall in our history in the United States. So I'd like to take a moment and welcome Marianne. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, commissioners. I'm going to share my screen because I have a slideshow to show, and I'm trying to make it quick because I know you're pressed for time too. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders in Orange County right now. And like Jennifer said, I'm with ACAPICA, and this is a little bit about us, showing some photos of us and what we're doing. And I know you all know this, but just to give you a little bit of background about ACAPICA, you know, when we started ACAPICA, we started it in 1997, and prior to that, we were planning it, but the perceptions of Orange County were that Orange County was white and very wealthy, and but we know that the real Orange County is quite different. It's actually majority-minority, with a majority of the population being Latinx and Asian American and Pacific Islander, and this just shows, you know, the concentrations. We have a little Saigon, we have a Koreatown, we have the largest Vietnamese population outside of Vietnam, and we also have a lot of businesses. And so just to give you a little bit of statistics, Orange County has the third largest Asian American and Pacific Islander population in the nation, making up about 22% of the entire county. That's 2018 data, census data. And right now we're more than 700,000. And we also have an amazing amount of businesses. So we have the third largest number of Asian American and Pacific Islander owned businesses in the United States, bringing in about $21 billion in revenue and providing almost 100,000 jobs. And that was also 2018 data. I think 2020 we'll see some increases. And just a little bit about Asian Americans and Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders in Orange County. I talked about how we're the third largest in the nation. The first is Los Angeles County. The second is Santa Clara County, then us. So all in California. But a lot of people think that Asian Americans, the largest concentration is in Garden Grove or in Westminster. And it's actually Irvine. And then Garden Grove, Anaheim, Westminster. And you can see Santa Ana. And you can see it goes all the way down, you know, all the way to Mission Viejo. These are the top 15
cities with the largest Asian American and Pacific Asian American population. For Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders, they are residing in Anaheim all the way down to Fountain Valley. And so a little bit different, but you can see concentrations of the community as well. We're also the fastest growing population in Orange County. And so in the last, between, this is old data, but we'll look at new data coming up once the census releases the new data. We grew by about 41% in 10 years. And actually, the census just actually released some preliminary data showing that we are, again, the fastest growing population in the nation. And we always push for disaggregation of data because when you look at Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders aggregated, the data is going to show you there's some good outcomes that we have. But some of our populations are in high need. And I just have this one slide just to show you poverty. When you aggregate Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, you show like there's a 10% living in poverty or 24% of Asian Americans are low income. And when you disaggregate the data, you can see Cambodians are 37% of Cambodians are low income, 11% living in poverty, and so on. Vietnamese, 34% low income, 13% below poverty. So it's really important to understand the diversity as well as the disaggregation, the need to disaggregate the data. There's over 60 different ethnic groups that represent Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. A little bit about why we started OCAPICA. So we started planning OCAPICA in 1996, and this kind of goes to today a full circle. We started OCAPICA because there was a number of hate crimes occurring, and 1996 was when welfare reform was implemented. We saw a lot of hate incidences occurring. We saw a lot of blame on the community. But one in particular crime that started was occurred was the death of Tianmin Lee. And Tianmin Lee, we actually work with Orange County Human Relations on this case. He was killed in 1996, stabbed to death on the tennis courts of Tustin High School. And the only reason why his killer was caught and that a hate crimes conviction could occur was that he wrote a letter to his cousin about killing a Jap and how he stabbed him multiple times and cut his neck and let him lay dying. This letter, the girlfriend of the cousin, turned it into the police. And so he and his accomplice were able to be caught. There was another hate crime that started, and that was the death of Kenny Chu, a Laguna Hills High School student. And this was a little bit after, but Kenny, it started with a neighbor calling him chink and jap and gook and harassing the family, spray painting their garage. And, you know, at the time people were just like, well, you know, we'll work it out or, you know, it's just starting with name calling. But it ended up where Kenny was getting out of his car with his girlfriend and the neighbor came over and stabbed him multiple times and killed him. And these are the events that really helped galvanize why we needed to start OCAPICA. Other things that had been occurring were, at the time, Asian American youth, there were police mug files being taken of them. There was a lot of stereotypes occurring around Asians during welfare reform, especially, you know, you're the ones who live off of welfare but drive the Mercedes, or you're the good immigrants, not the bad immigrants across the border. And these are just things that we weren't hearing. And we also saw that there was an increase in hate crimes from that time of 1996 on up, and it continued, and especially after, you know, during 9/11 and after. So, like Jennifer said, we were established in 1997, and as an organization to bring together and address the needs of the Asian American and Pacific Islander communities. But right now, we evolved to work with everybody. We speak 26 languages, including most of the Asian American and Pacific Islander languages, and Farsi and Arabic and Spanish. We serve about over 50,000 community members a year. And as Jennifer said, we're in these program areas of health, mental health, youth, education, leadership, policy and civic engagement, and workforce development, because these are the areas that we felt would impact poverty the most in the community and help support opportunities for the communities. Now, I just want to transition to our policy work and our Stop Asian Hate work. As you know, there is a lot of scapegoating, a lot of blame that is occurring in the at the community due to the pandemic. And so in this last year in the nation, there was 4,000 hate crimes and incidents reported in 2020 and another 2,000 from January to April nationally. So about 6,000 hate incidents as hate crimes. And these are the ones that are just reported. And I know that you know in Orange County Human Relations Commission that a number of hate crimes and incidences go underreported. Just like Chief Hamels has educated community members on, I really appreciated you talked to in the city of Irvine about how it is similar to domestic violence where people really don't want to report it or they feel ashamed or they're not sure. And so that's why it's really important for us to promote it as well as to disaggregate the data and look at how it's impacting the community. In the national data that's been reported to stopaapihate.org, which has 11 languages where people are able to report, 45% of the Asian hate that's been reported has been coming from California. And we're also showing that hate impacts Asian American women more, 2.3 times more than men. The impact of the pandemic has been great on the Asian American and Pacific Islander communities, and especially in Orange County. And I just wanted to provide a little bit of context, so a tiny bit of data. For the Asian community, there's a case rate of 3,205 COVID-19 cases per 100,000 people, and it's about the third highest case rate, Latinx being the highest. And then for Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders, the highest is Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders with a case rate of 11,992 per 100,000. And then Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander communities in Orange County and actually in the nation have the highest death rates from COVID-19. What is alarming is that when we were able to start the vaccinations, we started on individuals 75 years and over. Well, Pacific Islanders don't live that long, and so they were not able to get vaccinated in that first tier. And the community was just devastated because they had to wait until 65 years and over could be vaccinated. There's also been a recent Pew Charitable Trust, a national survey with Asian Americans this year, and it was asking questions around what's been the impact of the pandemic. And for community members surveyed, the pandemic wasn't the number one concern. It was Asian hate and discrimination. It wasn't about were they concerned about getting COVID-19. It was about if they left their houses, would they get attacked? What about the seniors who were being attacked? Every day, people were hearing on the news of different attacks. We were very concerned and were afraid. We also saw the pandemic really impacting us where we have Asian Americans have the second highest number of unemployed due to the avoidance of their businesses during the pandemic. A lot of businesses lost. We were seeing widening racial disparities and increasing poverty among Asian Americans. The unemployment among the community quadrupled during the pandemic. We saw a 10.7% unemployment among Asian Americans, was second only to African Americans. And then 75% of nearly the 2 million small businesses nationally couldn't access governmental assistance, so they weren't able to access the PPP and EIDL loans. They didn't know how, and language barriers is one of the number one reasons. We saw over 230,000 Asian-owned businesses close, which saw a 28% decline in Asian American-owned businesses. And mental health was especially impacted. And at Okapika, we had three times the increase in calls for mental health needs. We saw 155% increase in depression nationally, 94% increase in stress, 93% increase in anxiety, and 78% increase in somatic symptoms, such as stomach aches, headaches, and visits to doctors regarding the somatic symptoms. Also, what was interesting is we came out in numbers. We were many times the deciding factor in elections, and so racism was the number one reason why people came out and voted. So what's happening in Orange County, and what is the community doing? So we have a number of Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders working together in collaboration to address Asian hate. And from last summer, after, you know, during Black Lives Matter, our coalition called the AAPI Meet and Eat Coalition, which is made up of 30 organizations and universities and colleges, met up to decide how are we going to address Black Lives Matter. We really want to be working in solidarity. So we had a summer of listening, and we had anti-blackness, and, you know, what is anti-blackness in the Asian American community and Pacific Islander communities? What kind of racism do we have that we need to address too? What can we build as allies also? And then from that summer, last summer, as we saw more increases in Asian hate, we started Stop Asian Hate. We had various community vigils. Nailing It is another collaboration that is really amazing. We've been doing a lot of vigils and gatherings. And then this weekend, Saturday, is a group of parents who organized Stop Asian Hate, which will be held at Irvine City Hall. And a safe way for families to be able to gather to look at how are we going to address Stop Asian Hate. As a collaboration and as different groups, we're also doing a lot of education in language of community members. Many members didn't know what hate crimes or hate incidences are and how to report. We're also doing education to policymakers and businesses, working together around how are we all working together to address this. I wanted to mention the Asian Pacific Islander Legislative Caucus in California has been pushing 13 legislative bills around this, as well as funding from California to address anti-racism in the community and within a BIPOC framework. We're looking at systems and policy changes. How can we help support wraparound services for victims? How are we helping to work with schools and others to integrate anti-racism curriculum in the school systems? We're also promoting investment and support of Asian-owned businesses. Many of the businesses who have lost customers or who have been really struggling during the pandemic. But we've also seen a number of Asian-owned businesses invest back into the community and give back. We have a number of restaurants that have been providing free food to community members and to a number of organizations. Also organizing bystander and upstander trainings. So Asian Americans Advancing Justice nationally have partnered with Hollaback and have been providing free trainings. And then also working with the state around reporting and policing and how we can really work with law enforcement around community policing and resources that could go towards, you know, helping with victims, and then disaggregating data. And then finally, working on leadership development and getting people involved. So I will stop sharing there. And so sorry I was talking so fast, but I wanted to finish as soon as possible because I know you have a lot on your agenda. And just thank you so much for having me here today.
Thank you so very much. A lot of information. Those numbers are incredible, too, both on the positive side of how many AAPI community members we have and the increase, and, of course, on the hate side, sadly, as well. Questions for Marianne? Comments?
Hi, this is Mike Hamill. Marianne, thanks for the presentation. And I've had the pleasure now of seeing you twice, you know, of course, once for the Irvine City Council. And, you know, I gain a little bit something out of it every time I see it. But, you know, the comments about hate crime, I just wanted to mention, and as I think many of you know, and I've shared before, the Irvine City Council, under their leadership, the Irvine PD created a hate crime and hate incident reporting portal. And since the implementation of that portal, and since it's gone live, we have seen our hate crimes and hate incidents rise as far as reporting is concerned. And many of those have been anti-Asian. And so to the comment that Marianne made, that, you know, often this is underreported, and sometimes it's because of a variety of reasons, right? And Marianne stated some of those, what those are. But it's, you know, now evidence through this portal is that when you provide another way to make a report, and it doesn't involve necessarily having to make a report face-to-face to a police officer, also providing the ability to be anonymous, we are receiving more reports. And so it does, I think, provide evidence that, in fact, it is so, that it is a vastly underreported crime. So what's also promising is now there's other jurisdictions have reached out to us to inquire about our portal and how we implemented it. It's also worthy of mentioning that we offer reporting in 7 different languages. So just wanted to mention that. I thought it was perhaps relevant to the conversation.
Vivian Lee.
Hi, I have a comment. I just want to say hi, Marianne. It's wonderful to see you. I know that for many, many in Orange County, Opapica is a pillar to our community. So I want to thank you not only for the presentation, but also everything you've done to get us this far. And I'm just glad that I got to see this meeting, my first meeting with this presentation, really eye-opening. Very thankful.
Indeed. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You're welcome to come anytime, Marianne.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I just want to, Chief Hamill, what he had said about the city of Irvine, it made a difference when the city and the police came out and talked about this and talked about how are we stopping this. And I think that people, neighbors and community members in Irvine felt comfortable now to be able to report when they saw an action being taken and that the city really cared about the community and this. And so we really appreciate that. So when cities and school districts and the county did actions and talked about it, it made a difference. So we appreciate all the work that's happening and really are thankful for it. So thank you all. And great to see you too, Ada.
And thank you for being here, Marianne. Really appreciate your presentation. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to number 8.
Okay, item 8 is Board Resolution Ad Hoc Update, the Proposal, and Stakeholder Meetings.
We'll call upon Commissioner Faruqi in the voice of Norma Lopez.
Hi, everybody. So I'll do a quick update on the amazing work that the ad hoc has been putting forth since the board resolution denouncing anti-hate and hate in general in Orange County. As many of you know, there was two different aspects to the resolution. One was the holding stakeholder meetings to collect input from the community around experiences and ideas on how to combat hate together in Orange County. And as it was mentioned earlier, as Rabbi reviewed our monthly summary, there were 4 sessions that were organized. I do want to call out our commissioners that put in countless hours to organize these, everything from just the general list of stakeholders that we need to reach out to agendas to everything. So Fareed, I was the chair and he was the leader in this, alongside with Jennifer, Amy, and Joanne being the power process that they are. They were able to hold 4 meetings that drew 163 folks to the spaces to come and speak about their experiences and then ideas on how is it that the commission can expand our current scope of work. So that leads us to the second part of this, which the second ask was that from these stakeholder meetings that the commission would draft out a proposal on how do we expand the current scope of service. And right now, that's what the ad hoc is working on. They're working on drafting and putting together that proposal based on the ideas that were collected. And the commission should be seeing something soon once it, it's completed and sent out to Board Supervisor Bartlett, which was the person that requested this. So that's the update. I'm not sure if Jennifer or Joanne would like to add anything more.
No, I don't have anything to add except to say it was very intense working on the ad hoc, but I appreciate everything that we did as a group. And Norma, thank you so much for your input. Jennifer as well. I think we did well. It was almost starting to feel like we were sleeping together because we were wake up, start another meeting, go, well, when's our next meeting? In 4 hours from now. Yeah, we got a little hectic, but we got the job done, I think. And I think we have a good proposal to present. And, you know, just thank you for Jennifer and Amy and for Fareed and Norma's help and Renee as well. Thank you so much.
You know what Joanne just said, but I also want to add that, you know, I think that this is just a start. This is the beginning of many things that we can do to make effective change within Orange County. Especially, I appreciate having our new commissioners on board, and I'm excited to work with them on this because as Marianne had shared earlier, this is just, the intensity is just increasing every day. Every week I hear something new, or even every day I hear something new that, like I said, this is just not a catalyst, but this is just the beginning. And I really appreciate the county staff being on board and the HRC staff being there to help scribe because it was intense. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I would just add to that, the need is ever increasing. I mean, look at the numbers Marianne shared with us. I can tell you in the last 4 days, since the increase in violence in the Middle East, I've had 5 high school students and their parents reach out to me, anti-Semitic incidents. And it is really, really scary times, and this is really needed. And the work of this ad hoc is just absolutely incredible. So, thank you very much. Number 9.
Okay. Item number 9 is Commission Staff Reports. New Hate Crimes Prevention Coordinator, Ni Nguyen. I hope I pronounced your first name right. And Cairo event, legislation bill regarding hate crimes on May 25th from 1 to 2:30 p.m.
That's me again, but now we have some exciting news, and I'm so excited to introduce to you our new hate crimes prevention coordinator. So after a long, drawn-out process of interviews and resume tracking and reviewing, I am so happy to share that I truly believe we got the best of the best joining our team. And her name is Nee. She is here with us, so I am not going to introduce you to her. I think I'm going to allow her to, I'm going to give you the space for her to introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. It's so exciting to finally meet you all and to join you all here today. I'm really excited to work with everyone. I use she and her pronouns, and like Norma said, I'm the new hate crime prevention coordinator. So prior to my work here and joining OCHR, I worked at UC Irvine, where I worked alongside my outreach and prevention team to support those who have been impacted by sexual violence, family violence, dating violence, and stalking. And prior to that, I also worked with the Legal Aid Foundation of Los Angeles and Liberty in North Korea and so many other organizations that I had the honor and privilege of working alongside. Really what shifted and what pushed me to reach out to OCHR and to find this role and really be able to support the community is my own experience with violence as well as my professional work. So the work that I'm doing now and the work that I've done really has a personal impact on myself. And I truly believe that with everyone here at the commission and our community members, we can really make a difference in our community, not only to create a culture change on the intolerance of violence, but also all forms of inequity and injustice. So I'm really grateful to have this opportunity to work with you all, and I'm excited to get to know everyone and also see what changes we can make.
Welcome aboard. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Nee, for for joining us and for being here. It felt like it took forever to get you here, but I'm so excited you're here to help us out now. So the second thing on my agenda that I wanted to share was, as many of you know, there is a California Association for Human Relations Organization, and it's a statewide entity that I'm the board president of since a year ago. But we've been holding quarterly convenings for all the different members of human relations commissions across the state. So I'm really excited about this upcoming convening. We are going to have a couple experts come speak about two pieces of legislation that directly impact hate crimes. And it's AB 11.6 and AB 50, oh my gosh, I'm losing track here, 50 something. Sorry. So the event is going to be on Tuesday, May 25th from 1 to 2:30. And we are having someone from Bloom, Ryan Levin from the Center of Extremism in Cal State University of San Bernardino. We have Ann Noel, who's actually has her own consulting firm. I used to be a lobbyist out in Northern California, who's going to come and speak about AB 57. And then also Melissa Koffler, who's part of Bloom's office, who's actually spearheading and leading the AB 1126 bill, which is looking to establish a state of hate commission for the state of California. So there's going to be mention of other legislative bills that directly impact the work that HRCs do across the state, but the spotlight will be on these two. So if you're able to join us, that'd be great. I will send out a flyer after this with information, and if you know you want to share this out, everybody's welcome to attend as well. And those are my updates. Thank you.
Next one.
Okay, item number 10 is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Thank you. There's no update. Thank you.
Okay. And item number 11 is OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Yes, we had a great meeting at the end of April, and a great speaker, a couple great speakers, and so I want to thank Jennifer and Bishop Lynn. Of the Catholic Diocese of Orange, who spoke to our group and on AAPI issues, and it was very, very informative. The next meeting will be on August 17th about the interfaith experience with respect to all things Orange County and how to be a voice in church, temple, mosque, wherever we might be, for acceptance, tolerance, and health and safety, if you will, mental health and spiritual health. So that's kind of where we're at. Instead of doing every other month, we're doing quarterly meetings now. So August 17th, 3 to 4:30. Next one.
Okay, next is announcements from commissioners.
If I could, I'd just like to take a minute just to, you know, in advance, thank everyone for your patience as I catch up as a new board member. I just want to say that I welcome you, and I'm excited to work with you and all the other staff here. And Rabbi, thank you for facilitating this incredible meeting. I love the content. I'm really excited to see how I can lend my help move all of us along, and also learn a tremendous amount from all your work.
Thank you, Ada. You know, I have a feeling everyone on this screen is a professional volunteer, that we volunteer a lot in our lives, and he is laughing. I don't know why she's laughing. But we sometimes spend our time and then we walk out of this volunteer or that volunteer experience saying, did I have an impact? Did I have an impact? I can tell you this volunteer experience, every time I feel like we have an impact. And it's a really meaningful volunteer position for us as citizen advocates. So thank you for saying that. And I think you will really enjoy it and dot you as well. I welcome both of you. Last comments, announcements, thoughts? Okay. Well, with that, let us adjourn our meeting, and I wish you all a safe and healthy weekend, and we will see you in just a few weeks.
Thank you.
Bye.